This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for business on BFM 89.9.
Over the last year, we've seen more and more scientists and environmentalists call for a ban on glitter. The stuff may be bright, fun, and sparkly, but it has a dark side too. These tiny glittering particles have been making their way into our water sources. And because glitter is so small, marine life are mistaking it for food, which in turn is damaging their livers and affecting their behavior functions. Not to mention, every tiny sparkly bit of glitter can take thousands of years to break down. Scientists are calling glitter an environmental disaster, but there is a way to sparkle sustainably. Meet Jean. Born in KL but based in Berlin, this 34-year-old has created plant-based glitter that is a sustainable alternative to traditional glitter. And she's here with me in the studio today on Open for Business to tell us how she and her startup, Project Glitter, plan to lead the change and revolutionize the glitter industry. Jean, welcome.
Hi, nice to meet you and thank you for having me.
So let's just start with Project Glitter's inception. When and why did you decide to create this product? What sparked it all?
So Project Glitter came to me exactly 4 years ago, actually, in Berlin. I guess I've been going to a lot of festivals and attending lots of Berlin's well-known for their nightlife. And glitter kind of goes hand in hand with partying in Berlin and also with festivals and dressing up. And for me, I always loved taking glitter with me. I was always the person that had glitter in my bag or in my back pocket to share with people because I also really love to go to festivals. And it's something that's nice. It's like it's a nice interaction to have to share with people. It makes them so happy when you apply this very simple product to their face. They don't even know what they look like, but you apply it to their face, they let you into a very intimate environment, and then you're suddenly their best friend. And it's just a beautiful connection. And so for me, I used to buy my glitter from an arts and crafts store. So it's really terrible plastic glitter. It comes in one big packaging, like one size, one color, really boring. And then it's spilling all over my bag because it's not been designed to be taken out to a club or to a festival. And I guess it came to me one night when I was out and I'd been glittering like half the dance floor. And so many people kept bringing more people to me and they were like, oh my gosh, glitter my friend, like glitter my partner, whoever. And I was like, they need, like, people love glitter. And so there was like, I recognized there's a gap in the market because either you get glitter from arts and crafts stores or you get it from really high end, like the MAC, where you come in a little eyeshadow pot and it's very expensive. But there was kind of no product that was catering for people who were adults, like, so it's not just children using it, but for adults who are going to events, who want to dress up, who want to express themselves and look different and have fun, you know? And so I went away that night and did some research, and true enough, there was no product out there available at the time. This was 4 years ago. So I was like, okay, I'm going to create this. My background is in product design, industrial design. And at the time, I was working in a tech company doing user experience design. So I'm always looking at products and looking at how things are packaged and looking at the experience of how you use products, how people are interacting with it. And so glitter was, I looked at it and I was like, the whole glitter using experience is, it's terrible. So I was like, it needs to have better packaging. We need to have better options. At the time, the fact that it was plastic, I didn't even know what glitter was made out of. It wasn't even something that was on my mind. And then as I did more research, and suddenly I was like, oh, so this is plastic. This is microbeads have been banned. And so it just like added another layer on top of this product that I was already very interested in creating. So that's where the idea came from. I went away. I wanted it to be a brand that was not very girly, not full of unicorns, because I was like, guys and girls love this. Actually, a lot of my guy friends are as excited about glitter as my female counterparts. And so it was, so I came up with a branding that was like very unisex, kind of for the adult market. And also with packaging that was small, like that you could, the idea behind it is something that it's taken with you. It's not a, I don't want to be a beauty brand. It's because I'm not a beauty person. I use this, like when I apply glitter, I'm not even using a mirror. I'm using my finger. I don't have makeup brushes and everything. It's just something for fun. It's a fun product. It should be used in a way that is also to interact with people, because I would have it in my bag and I'm just like face painting people on the dance floor. No one, they don't know what they look like. It's like a messy process, but it's fun. And that's how I also wanted people, my customers, to be using the product in the same way, so that they're also kind of interacting with people.
So I understand the main aim is to revolutionize the glitter industry, but how big is the glitter industry? Is it an industry? Can we call it an industry?
So since I started it, I don't think there's anyone out there that was doing it. And since then, it has grown in a huge way, especially with the introduction of, I think in the last 2 years, microplastics has been in the news a lot. Microbeads were already banned from cleaners. It's used in a lot of beauty products. So that's kind of helping push the microplastics along as well. But in Europe, especially festivals, music festivals, it's becoming a really big thing. I think there's this whole generation of people who have much higher disposable income. I think our generation are looking to spend money on experiences. And with that, the whole music festival industry kind of feeds into that. And with attending music festivals, people, they want to express themselves. They are dressing up, they're buying, they are spending a lot on like how they look, and glitter kind of feeds into that. So it's a new industry that's definitely been created that's becoming popular. And I see even in Asia, there's a lot of new festivals coming up and people are now more open to dressing up and being silly and not just following the crowd and letting loose a little bit and like letting out this inner child in them.
So what's in Project Glitter's glitter? I understand it's plant-based.
Yes. So normal, I'll start by telling you how normal glitter is made, which is basically, it's essentially a giant film of plastic, which has composed of multiple layers. So you have the plastic film and then you have foil to reflect the color, and then you have pigments on top. And the plastic film forms the base of the glitter. And in this case, for Project Glitter, the plastic film has been replaced by a plant-based film. So it's actually made out of cellulose. And that means that the plastic component of the glitter has been removed and it's been replaced now with this biodegradable, because it's plant-based, it's made out of cellulose, it biodegrades. And that degrades, instead of thousands of years like traditional plastic glitter, it degrades in anywhere from 2 to 6 months.
And how does it sparkle?
So it's because there's a reflective layer, which is the aluminium. It's 0.1% aluminium. That technically is not biodegradable. Obviously, it's not. It's a metal that exists naturally in our Earth. But the point is more that it's plastic-free. And also, with the aluminium, it's a very fine layer. So although that part's not degradable, it's still not ideal. Like, we're still working on trying to remove that component altogether. But that's what is in regular glitter as well as with biodegradable glitter, because that gives it the reflection that you see and how we know glitter to sparkle.
So is Project Glitter the first of its kind in the market, or are there other safe substitutes to glitter already in the market?
So mica is another form of glitter that people have been using as a substitute, but Project Glitter was for sure, it's not the only one anymore. There has been other brands that have come up since Project Glitter, but they're all kind of much newer. And I think for Project Glitter, like when I look at the branding of the other companies that come up, we're still very unique in how we position ourselves, because I've never wanted to be, I think sustainability is important, but it's not like if you look at us, it's not like it's obviously a sustainable brand. Like, we are a brand. The fact that we're sustainable, it should just be a given. I think it's the responsibility of a lot of companies now that if there is a more responsible product offering, then that should be how we are. That's how business should be done. Like, that should be the only solution. Mm-hmm. So I'm not trying to plug the whole eco thing, like, that's just us. And so I look at a lot of other newer brands and they're going down this very like eco, environmentally conscious route, which is what we are about, but it's not so kind of embedded into our product. We're a glitter brand, and yes, we are plant-based because that's how it should be. That should be the norm.
All right, it's time for a break. More from Jean Lau, founder of Project Glitter, after these quick messages. Open for Business, we'll be right back. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. This is Open for Business with Audrey Raj. Jean Lau, founder of Project Glitter, is with me today, and we are discussing the new way to sparkle sustainably. Established in 2016, Project Glitter has created a biodegradable glitter produced from natural plant-based film in Germany. And apparently, it's as safe for the environment as it is for your face, body, and hair. Does it wash off easier than normal glitter, though? Because I know I'm sounding like an auntie here, but glitter is such a pain to wash off.
That is such a fair point. And actually, the reason normal plastic glitter is so hard to wash off is because of the static that's created from the glitter. So, you know, when you're trying to wash it off, it just spreads. It doesn't actually come off.
Yes.
And the great thing about biodegradable glitter is because it's not plastic, it doesn't generate that static. And actually, it just flakes off really easily. So a lot of feedback I'm getting from people is that not only is it biodegradable, but it comes off and it washes off, and you can wash it down the sink because it's degrades, so it's perfect.
What did you have to do to create this product, Jean? I mean, I can imagine the R&D into something like this must have taken a while, and it would not have been easy, let alone cheap.
So I actually am very fortunate in that I found a company in Germany who were already producing glitter. They are a German-based brand company, and they've been producing glitter for many, many years. And when I was looking for an alternative to the traditional plastic glitter, I came across them, and then I started speaking to them, and it happens that they were already produced, like, we're already doing research into creating a biodegradable, more sustainable alternative. It wasn't even available commercially at the time, and so it was them actually who created it, and I've partnered up with them. So I've been working with them since, like, yeah, since it became available, and that was, yeah, exactly. And it just, the timing was perfect, because actually it was at the time when I had just started the business, and they were still developing it, and I've been in talks with them since. So
the stars kind of aligned.
The stars aligned. Yeah, it was perfect.
And the IP for this product, how is that protected?
So it's all owned by the company in Germany, because they were the ones that they've been doing research for the past 6 years before I even came into the picture. So for sure, like you said, I am. They just produce. They're a glitter factory. Which is crazy. So they produce like the regular glitter as well as the biodegradable glitter. And with them, they are supplying me with the traditional glitter. So they own all the IP, and I am kind of the arm that's packaging it and putting and distributing it.
And how much does this cost to make? As in, if I had to choose between buying regular glitter and Project Glitter, would cost be something to deter me from making the environmentally friendly choice?
So the cost price of traditional glitter versus biodegradable glitter is huge. It's 10 times more expensive. I have done a lot of research. Like, I've tried to make the price point of biodegradable glitter more accessible, so it's not 10 times more expensive than how much you would buy plastic glitter, because I want it to. I want people to make the choice, and it should be an easier choice to buy biodegradable glitter. Unfortunately, it is a lot more expensive. So there is a big education piece around why people should spend more to get to buy the biodegradable alternative to as opposed to the cheaper plastic stuff. I think Europe is perfect for that, because I think there is a lot of awareness, especially in Germany, about the environment. They're a lot more conscious about this and are willing to spend more on the more sustainable alternatives.
And the business today, what's your staff strength like? Do you have a physical store, or is it just an online shop for now?
So most of our sales is online. So we are selling through our website, and we are also stocked in 10 shops in Berlin, a couple in Hamburg, in LA and New York as well. I don't have any of our own Project Glitter shops. I don't think that's going to be my focus anytime soon. I think the online sales is a great way of reaching people across the globe, but my focus is to try and get into more retail branches. So far, we've been stocked in a lot of independent shops that kind of are selling really fun kind of costume festival related items, but my goal is to get into like a larger pharmacy chain in Germany, and within Europe as well, or maybe like a Sephora beauty brand. retail outlet. So, yeah.
And how are you marketing your product? How are you getting the word out there?
Social media. Most of the, so my target age group is within 20 to 35. And they're all using Instagram to discover brands. It's a very visual product, and Instagram caters perfectly for that as well. I think up until this point, a lot of the marketing I'd done was also kind of through word of mouth. I think I'd grown it within Berlin as into kind of this cult brand with very next to no marketing strategy. Well, not necessarily, but without any money. It was all just kind of through creating really visual images, partnering with a lot of makeup artists and having them create the looks and then reposting. And so that's been my strategy so far. But this year, because I want to expand more into retail, I'm trying to focus more on like kind of collaborations and partnerships with other brands as well.
What would you say has been the biggest challenge in getting your product into the market? Is it building awareness about the dangers of normal glitter?
I think the press has been doing that for us a lot. So there's been so much in the news now about the bans of traditional plastic glitter. And so when people see our brand, they would have heard about this in the news or read about it or read an article. And so when they see it, they're like, oh my gosh, I just watched a documentary the other day, which was talking about plastic glitter. Or I was just reading in a magazine how they want to ban plastic glitter and how bad it is for the environment. So that's kind of played to advantage. Again, with timing and everything, it's been perfect. But I'd say I've been fortunate because I'm headquartered in Berlin in Germany. And I think that's very easy, but I think there is a bigger challenge of educating people outside of Germany around the awareness, and also because it is a more expensive product, people are very cost conscious as well. So to convince them that this is a better alternative, that they should be spending more on, because the cost, yes, the cost is probably higher, but then the cost of the earth is going to be so much bigger. And that's something that people don't immediately recognize and associate. So yeah, there's an education piece there. And also just getting people, they might know that microplastics is bad, but also just they don't know that there is an alternative, because then people are just like, okay, I'll stop using glitter. So getting the brand out there and putting it in front of people, that's my focus for this year.
So the business is 4 years old now. Mm-hmm. Are we making a profit yet?
It was actually making a profit from the start. I started the project, I call it a project because it started Project Glitter. I started it whilst working full-time. And I was working full-time for the first 3 years of its inception. So it was very much like my passion project. It was something that I was doing after work, on the weekends. It took up all my time. And I was doing everything from designing the logo, taking the photos, doing social media, doing customer services, setting up the website, writing the copy. So it took up all my time, replying to comments and liking, learning about social media. That was something else in itself. And in the last year, I've quit my job and now I'm doing Project Glitter full time. So whilst the benefit of having been working full time while setting Project Glitter up was that actually for the first 4 years, I had a full-time income. And so all the money that I was generating from Project Glitter, I was just putting back into Project Glitter. I kept it completely separate. I wasn't taking any money out for myself. So by the time I came to quitting my job, it had kind of built up and grown quite organically on its own, and was generating money pretty much from the get-go because I was doing everything by myself. So there was like, and because my background is in product design, I think I had the skills to be able to, I didn't have to pay a designer to do all the work for me. I didn't have to pay a photographer. I was working in tech, so I also, as a product manager, so I also understood what went into creating and building a product. And so I had the right skill sets to set it all up and do everything on my own for the first few years, which is great. And I was very fortunate for that. But on the other hand, it also means that it's very hard to delegate because I think I can do everything. And I'm like, I don't need to bring anyone else in. I can do all of this.
So you are back in Malaysia for a break. Any thoughts on spreading the sparkle in your motherland?
I would love to. I mean, I come back every year to see my family. Europe for sure is my main focus because I think there's still so much opportunity in Europe for me to grow the brand. Like, we are very established within Germany. We've been getting a lot of press coverage. There's a lot of festivals there, but Europe is still a very big festival focused place. It's still like kind of the leader in the festival industry. But I've been seeing a lot of festivals pop up in Asia, and actually I think it'd be really nice to bring it back and to introduce this to the festival industry here, because I think it is very important, and this is home, you know.
But you do ship globally, right?
We ship globally, but I have to say most of my focus has really been, like, since I quit my job last year, my marketing efforts has all been very Eurocentric. Also, the cost of posting is so expensive, and posting to Asia, it's also not very reliable. So I would almost need to have a distribution set up within Asia to cater for the Asian market, because it just doesn't make sense to ship everything from Germany. Also, not very sustainable. So I think in the way I practice, because we are a sustainable company and I want to do everything in as responsible a way as possible, so that extends from the packaging and the distribution, the postage and everything. If I were to do it, I would want to do it properly.
And just before we go, Jean, what are the expansion plans for Project Litter long term? Are there other sustainable, environmentally friendly products that you hope to introduce to the market, or is the plan to introduce Project Litter to other markets for now?
So my mission for Project Litter is actually to create, it's not about glitter, it's about creating socially responsible and sustainable products that kind of inspire connection and are fun. So glitter falls perfectly into that, but so do, it's not the only product that falls into that category. So I've got a few product ideas that I am working on right now.
All right, Jean, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
I've been speaking with Jean Lau, founder of Project Glitter. Now, to get your hands on some of her guilt-free glitter, go visit the Project Glitter website at
Project Glitter. That's P-R-O-J-E-K-T, Glitter, GLITTER.com.
And if you missed out on any part of this show, the podcast of the interview will be up on our website, bfm.my, in just a few minutes. You can also listen to our podcast on the BFM app and on Spotify and all other platforms where you get your podcast fix. My name is Audrey Raj, and on behalf of Jean Lau of Project Glitter, thanks for listening to Open for Business on BFM 89.9, the business station. Now off to go and mess around with some glitter with Jean.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.